Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Weekly Daily. I am your host, Chris, aka Necronominoms.
And I'm Beck.
Hi, Beck.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year. New Year, so hopefully everything went well for you over the New Year. Happy New Year to everyone at home.
Yeah, Happy New Year's to everybody. Yeah, mine went fine. Like, I didn't even do anything special for New Year's, but I just chilled. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mostly chilled. We toasted at midnight, and then I had like a 3-hour conversation with my brother over a Zoom call. So there was that.
Oof, Zoom calls. I'm sure everybody's used to those.
Yeah, you know, it goes better whenever you're just like sitting there and drinking.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Much different atmosphere.
You just vibe.
Yeah. Beside that, let's go ahead and ask the question we ask every time. How you doing, and what have you been playing?
Doing good. I've been playing a little indie game called Skull, the Hero Slayer. I got it on the Steam sale. It's a Metroidvania, not a Metroidvania. It's a roguelike game, where you know you just side-scrolling roguelike, where you just play. To see how far you can get, and then you die, and then you repeat. There's some, what's it called, like progression to it that just stays throughout your runs. I really enjoy those games. So think like, what's the one game called where the one guy could like, his head was like a little glowing head. I don't know if you played that one.
Dead Cells?
Yeah, Dead Cells. Think like that game. Very similar to that one. Yeah. Except that the one unique mechanic with this one is you're this little skeleton that he can like pop off his head and then put on another head, and it changes how he plays. And you can have two different heads in your arsenal at a time, and there's like over 100 different heads that he can equip. And those heads even like upgrade throughout your run into like better ones. And that's like the fun of it for me, is just being like, oh, how does a run go with this like defensive one, or how does a run go with this like ranged one? I like it.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing actually a lot of Elder Scrolls Online.
Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, getting on my MMO kick lately. I've been kind of cycling, but I've been playing a lot of Elder Scrolls Online. Been having fun with it. The storyline is not something I remember in terms of the characters that you encounter. There's a lot more character to the characters, I guess, than I remember. Maybe they just like improved it since I played, because I played probably about 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. I played back in the beta.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But a lot of character in it that I don't remember. And then also it's a bit raunchier than I remember.
That's not what I expect from like an MMO.
At all. No, I think it is rated M for mature, but there was one point. In one day, I did one quest where I had to talk to a guard, and the guard was annoyed at me because I wanted to go see someone. The guard specifically said she needed a good drink and a good plow.
Oh, like for her farm.
Yeah, let's go with that. didn't look like the farming type, but sure, we'll say that. There was another one. Yes. There was a ritual that I had to stop, and the ritual was one in which a Nord fellow took some spiders and made them mind spiders to go bring people in to dance for his ritual. And then when I went to fight him, he said, and I quote, "Shake your nethers for the mad god."
That's amazing.
It was a lovely quote, probably my favorite one ever in video game history.
Now, is this from like the base game or from an expansion?
I believe that would be considered the base game. I don't know what expansions I have. I don't know how that works, honestly. There's a lot of different, there's expansions, and then there's chapters and stuff like that. So there's whole other quest packs you can get. But I think this is base game. This is in Vardenfell, if anyone listening plays any Elder Scrolls. So it's the Dunmer, the Dark Elves, and they're a bunch of freaks and also slave owners, which isn't good.
That's the Dark Elves for you. I remember in like other Elder Scrolls games as far as like raunchiness goes. I remember like the Lusty Argonian Maid like books.
Yeah,
That's
that's it.
about as like I guess raunchy is that I can think of off the top of my head.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of experience with like pre-Skyrim Elder Scrolls, so I'm not too familiar with anything other than that Lusty Argonian Maid business.
I mean, you can get the books, I think, in a lot of the games. They appear. I'm not sure off the top of my head. The oldest game I played was Morrowind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we can get into some news, huh?
Yeah. What do we got for today?
All right. First thing on the docket, wanted to talk about Myth of Empires. This game has been going through some issues, particularly because it faced a DMCA takedown, a copyright strike from the developers of Ark Survival Evolved, Studio Wildcard, and their publisher, Snail Games. Before we get started on talking about that, did you look into this game at all, Beck, the Myth of Empires?
Definitely like showed up on like Steam a while back, like I want to say like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, something like that. And like I'm gonna be honest, I kind of like wrote it off whenever I saw it as just another Chinese like knockoff game, but it seemed to be way more than that because it was rated fairly well, and like I never played it though. I only like really looked into it whenever this kind of this all popped up.
So did you see any of the gameplay for it by any chance?
I mean, yeah, it just looked like another like big open world game. Like it said it was an MMO,
Right.
but I didn't get that much from it. It just looked like
Yeah.
a big open world game.
Yeah, so apparently what happened with this game is that in early December, Studio Wildcard, who's the developer of Ark Survival Evolved, issued a DMCA takedown notice over allegedly source code being stolen from Ark Survival Evolved specifically. So they had it requested to be takedown from Steam. And the request went through. So in early December, that was taken down. And so it looks like here they have what looks like a pretty good case. A lot of this is coming from a PC Gamer. There's also an official court filing that's been made public by Studio Wildcard and Snail Games. So it looks like they have a pretty good case here from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, that like the fact that it got taken down must mean that like I guess Valve or Steam or whatever agreed with what the Ark people were saying, like, yes, this is our source code, and they just looked at it and they're like, oh, it must be, and then they just took it down. Like you can't even find it on Steam anymore.
Yeah, it's been fully gone.
Yeah, it's like delisted. People can still play it though.
I imagine if you own the game, you can probably still play it. I don't know if they still have servers available, though. I haven't looked into that to see if they somehow kept servers running. I would imagine it's hard to do that when you don't have Steam support, but I'm sure it can be done. Looking
Yeah.
into some of the direct claims. So they say here, Studio Wildcard and Snail Games USA Incorporated have a good faith belief that Myth of Empires was built by one, stealing the Ark Survival Evolved source code, and two, using the stolen source code as the gameplay foundation for Myth of Empires. That's the official complaint that was filed. Going on, they do point out that there are key employees of the developer of Myth of Empires that worked at the Chinese parent of Snail Games USA Incorporated, and at least one of them had the credentials that enabled them to access the Ark Survival Evolved source code. That is part of the reason that I'm saying like this does look pretty clear cut. it is just them going through the files and seeing that the source code is incredibly similar, and in fact the same in some places, with the same tags for class and variables and all that kind of good code junk. I'm not exactly a coder, so I know very little, but a lot of it is just even just the same names for things that you wouldn't expect from that, because it's usually kind of different for people whenever it's a different person working on codes.
Right. One of the articles I read about it was just saying how like they're trying to like fix this problem. I don't know how they're going to go about fixing it, but I think it was on like one of the Chinese like websites where they're talking about it. I don't know what they're going to do. Like, if they took the code straight from it, like, can they even like do like sell the game anymore?
I would imagine it would require just completely reworking the game and just rebuilding it themselves without touching on the same sorts of technology and source code that they used originally.
That sounds like a lot.
It does sound like a lot.
Well, this isn't the first time that like a Chinese company has just straight up taken from another company and just sold it. So,
right.
What's new?
Going on to the developer of Myth of Empires response, Angela Games, their initial response, they were starting out at the beginning of the story, we weren't sure who issued the takedown notice, so they did release a statement tamping down rumors, because there were a lot of speculations as to who was the company that issued the notice. Later on, we did learn that it was Studio Wildcard that put this up, and so they released a broader statement about the allegations. They explicitly say, quote, "Our development team solemnly declares Angela Game fully owns all rights and property associated with Myth of Empires and will actively respond to any doubts or allegations on this point." So they just basically fully refute that they stole it, obviously. They went on to what is the current story, which is that they did try to file a lawsuit to get it back, get their game back on Steam. That doesn't seem to be going well.
I don't know what they're going to do about that. If it comes back on Steam, then they're totally in the right, but that's really crazy that the game got taken down at all. If they wouldn't have already just fully accepted that that was what's going on here.
Yeah, it does seem like that's not currently going to happen. There are updates to the lawsuit, statements from the defense being Snail Games and Studio Wildcard. They maintain, it looks like in the court filings, they do mention at some point that the Angela Games' attempt to get it back on Steam seems to be completely avoiding any sort of explanation as to why Snail Games is incorrect in their accusations. So it doesn't look like they really just have anything to show for it. The only thing they said at one point, this is in response to the analysis there were similar class variable and function names in the code. They said it is incomplete and misleading, and in any event, such names are not copyrightable and are not subject to copyright control. I'm not exactly a legal expert. I do think that that could technically be true in some cases, but if you have too much of it that is the same, at some point that works into copyrightable territory. So I don't think that that's going to be a good excuse.
Yeah, we'll just have to see on this one. We can maybe follow up on it later if anything comes out of it. But I think for this foreseeable future, we just won't see this game on Steam. Maybe it'll have to go to another platform.
Right. Yeah, so I guess we will see. We can update on this story whenever we find out more. I am curious to see what happens to the game itself, if it does find a new place or if it just has to be shut down entirely. That will be interesting to see going forward.
Yeah, it's hard to shut down an MMO and just like remake it and everything.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we can go ahead and move on to our next story. We're going to be talking about Ubisoft. They're in the news lately. It's always what now? Ubisoft has had a poor reputation lately. Lately, it looks like there's been a what is being described as an exodus of sorts of some of Ubisoft's top talent. This is coming out of Axios. There is, in particular, a lot of top credited people from the games leaving. We have at least five of the top 25 credited people from Far Cry 6, and 12 of the top 50 people from Assassin's Creed Valhalla, they have also left. That is in addition to what appears to be at least 60 people, according to LinkedIn. Let's see here. That looks like all that we've seen so far as just flat out people leaving that we know of. Mm-hmm. That is a lot to lose in 1 month.
Yeah, like what was it that caused all this mass exodus?
There is apparently a lot of stuff. It's going to take some unpacking here. We have what looks like we have multiple issues that may have coincided with each other that have caused people to just get kind of fed up over time. It looks like, first of all, the main thing that a lot of people who were interviewed cited was what I would basically call like poaching. There have been some people that have said that they were offered more money at other positions. One programmer in particular told Axios they were able to triple their take-home pay by leaving. And also, it says here, Ubisoft actually offered pay raises for workers at the Canadian studios. So Toronto and Montreal. They just flat out gave them pay raises. That seems to be one reason they're leaving. I would imagine that there is a lot of merit to that for a number of reasons.
So for the most part, they went to other companies, offered their developers and workers better pay at their own companies, and then just didn't give them the pay for the most part.
I don't know if Ubisoft actually offered their own workers false raises or anything like that. It seems more just along the lines of the employees simply took better offers at other companies.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Then, along with that, there is the issue of what some are calling a creativity issue with Ubisoft, which does scan with me. I don't know about you.
A lot of their games do this similar, like climb up a large structure, a vista per se, and then like you see some stuff and then you jump down and you go to the next one and do the same thing again. A lot of their games revolve around similar gameplay styles.
Exactly, yeah. And it's also, some have speculated that in addition to that specific creative gripe, there's also the issue of their recent announcement of NFTs that they're doing. The beta for the Quartz program, I believe it's called, was released recently. A lot of people in general kind of groaned about that. The video, last time I checked, had like 40,000 dislikes, something like that. A lot of people didn't like that, and I imagine that also some of the developers didn't like that either. There is a quote here from a former Ubisoft worker saying, "There's something about management and creative scraping by with the bare minimum that really turned me away." That's only one person. It's not hard to imagine that that could be a contributing factor.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big company. Like, I see a lot of people just being were saying that there's just not enough new or different things going on with the company.
Yeah,
And just,
especially
yeah.
for a developer that's like a AAA developer just doing that kind of yearly release thing on their like
Yeah.
20th Assassin's Creed game, you
Yeah,
know?
yeah. I mean, I guess that's kind of like what you gotta sign up for whenever you join those bigger companies is, hey, we gotta make our money, so expect the same thing over and over. Like, they're not trying to break the mold with these newer games ever, it seems. Like, even though they're like received well, like say like the newest Assassin's Creed, Valhalla, yeah, was received fairly well. But it didn't do anything like crazy different per se. So it's just what you expect, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Then the last issue that some people cite is the issue of their harassment in the past, and also them not following up on making the workplace better. This is sort of an interesting story that happened back in 2020. They were part of the Me Too scandal people. Like they got caught up in that stuff. There are a few stories. A lot of it came from just sort of employees just being fed up and starting to tweet their grievances. A lot of employees talked about dealing with workplace harassment, dealing with verbal abuse, physical abuse. At least one worker claimed that they were raped outright.
Oh.
Just very serious stuff, obviously. This is on a Twitter thread from at Denny Von Doom. They talk about one high up person in Ubisoft. His name was Maxime Belland. I don't know if I'm saying that right. In this story, the worker alleges that he full on choked her at a Far Cry party, which
Oh.
is crazy to me.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
insane.
Yeah,
This is
that's
actually kind of old news. This is from 2020.
Yeah, that's the he that he resigned in July
Yeah, so
last
he
month.
left after that.
Yeah.
That
Just
was
terrible. Yeah, that's
pretty
terrible.
bad. I don't even think that's the worst story. Obviously, like I said, there was one worker that alleged that they were raped, and that's much worse. Not that we're trying to scale awful things that happen in the world, but good Lord. Really
Yeah.
serious stuff.
Yeah,
And
I think this all compounds with like everything with the how the game rewards were trying to be more to get rid of all of this stuff with the all this happening in the game is industry, so it might just be compounded from all that.
yeah, I think it's definitely at the forefront of people's minds lately, especially with all the issues at Activision Blizzard. It seems to have some people at Ubisoft thinking about how things are going now with their company. There were 1,000 current and former employees that signed a letter saying Ubisoft hadn't done enough to reform its culture. That's a lot of people that
Yeah.
seem to agree that there is still an issue that has not been resolved. Yeah, that's pretty bad. I think all of that kind of compounded together and made it to where people just want to leave.
Can't blame them. Maybe it's better off that a lot of these like bigger companies fall apart and we get a bunch of new smaller companies. I don't
Yeah,
know what
it's
to say.
kind of tragic that it has to happen like this, though. Definitely don't want to see human suffering have to result be what engages that sort of thing.
Yeah.
As far as Ubisoft's response, one of the main things they're saying is talking about their hiring rates and versus their attrition rate. They point out that while their attrition rate has gone up recently, they have hired more than 4,500 people in the 2 years prior. they do, Axios does point out that LinkedIn's report is that Ubisoft's attrition rate is at 12%, and there are higher ones. Activision Blizzard is at 16%, but there are also lower ones. EA is at 9%, Take-Two is at 8%, and Epic Games is at 7%. So they're not the highest, but also the highest is pretty bad right now.
Yeah.
You don't want to cite being better than Activision Blizzard as a high bar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not much of a jump. Yeah. You're not going far.
Yeah, this is something that it's going to be interesting to see if the bleeding stops in the future or if they do anything to stop it. We'll know more going forward. That's just the latest that has come out of them.
Yeah, hopefully that's all for like depressing stuff.
Well, funny you should mention that, because speaking of harassment, the Riot Games lawsuit for harassment has finalized recently. There is a report from Paul Tassi of Forbes that actually does a good job of outlining just what happened with the ending of the lawsuit and how it ended out.
Okay. So what happened?
Right. So to start off with a little bit of background, I just want to go over how the lawsuit kind of started. There was an article that came from Cecilia D'Anastasio. I hope I said that right. This was in August of 2018. It was an expose titled Inside the Culture of Sexism at Riot Games. This expose basically outlined a sort of bro culture that was rampant in the Riot Games studios. It was pretty crazy. I didn't actually read this in full. I heard of a couple stories back then, but I hadn't actually looked through the whole thing until recently. A lot of crazy stories and just kind of like painting a really weird 12-year-old gamer bro culture that I haven't experienced since I was that young just being online.
Yeah, it seems like they should maybe a lot of this gamer bro culture is going to maybe just disappear in the next few years, we hope.
One can hope.
What did the article talk about?
In general, the vibe you get was a lot of gamer dudes that just wanted to be gamer dudes, and they wanted women to almost not be there. They didn't outright say anything like that. But here's an example. This is a quote from the article. One former Riot employee who presented as a woman, for example, has always played role-playing games and said as much during their 2014 phone interview for a position at Riot, not at all adjacent to games development. The interviewer then asked if they played real games like Call of Duty.
Oh no, that's terrible. Like, what? First off, as someone who plays a lot of role-playing games, screw them. I think role-playing games are perfectly fine for being real games. But, like, Call of Duty? Come on. You're right. Maybe they are, like, 12-year-olds.
I mean, role-playing games are just straight nerd, like, numbers. That's hardcore. Like,
yeah.
When you're playing role-playing games, you're getting into the weeds. Yeah. I would think that counts. Sure. But it's a lot of stories like that, and the problem is that it's not just weird. It resulted in real-world inequalities in the actual studio. There were a lot of instances of women getting talked over in meetings. There were a lot of instances of women not being looked over for promotions, especially on jobs that they actually just did without having that title. Just women that were stepping up to do like management stuff and being turned down for the management position when it came time to hire someone in favor of male talent. A lot of stuff like that, where it starts out as that weird gamer bro thing, but ends in real world harm. Yeah. So, pretty bad stuff. That was the origin, and that's what eventually led to the lawsuit that was being filed against Riot Games. Now, going forward here, the actual lawsuit was really interesting. They, according to this Forbes article, originally the company agreed to pay just $10 million. So Riot was just like, we're going to give you $10 million for all this trouble we caused. The plaintiff being California, the state of California, specifically the Fair Employment and Housing and the Division of Labor Standards Enforcement, they decided that the number should be $400 million. The number that got settled on by the end of this lawsuit was $100 million.
$410 million. That's a good in between 100.
I mean, sure, right?
It's not even in between the numbers.
It's as far in between as they're willing to go.
Okay.
But $100 million, that, I mean, that seems like a lot, right?
Yeah, it does seem like a, I mean, it does seem like a lot, I guess. If that's what they settled on, yeah. To me, as a small person, that sounds like a lot.
As a small person with humble beginnings in a trailer, that does seem like a lot. Funny story. According to the Riot, this is actually coming from Superdata. They estimate the revenue of League of Legends alone to be $1.75
billion. Oh, dear. This is like nothing. That's like a drop of water to them.
Yeah.
And that's just League alone, which if anybody who's listening who doesn't play League of Legends, a lot of what they're paying for in League of Legends is just cosmetics. That is just cosmetics.
There's certainly no money going into balancing from their team, so I can't imagine what they're spending money on other than just making more cosmetics.
Yeah.
So clearly a drop in the water in terms of how much money they're actually paying out. There is another caveat. They are paying $100 million for damages against the women involved or people involved at Riot that were affected. They're also paying $18 million for programs going forward in the near future to help end the workplace harassment that's going on.
I feel like they could give a lot more, but okay.
They could give a lot more. The thing that I worry about with that is that if they get to choose how they spend that money, they get to choose how they put forward the $18 million to fix the problems that they caused. I would hope that there would be some oversight there, because it is pretty easy to just kind of half-ass this. Yeah. And just not really do anything about it. A lot of companies have found this stuff to be just sort of cost of business kind of thing, where they just pay the fine and move forward, and then you find out a few years later that nothing changed. So that kind of worries me.
That definitely is a thing.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
But of course, the thing with the $100 million also going to the people affected, as Forbes points out here, there were up to 2,365 women that were eligible to receive part of that settlement. If you distributed all that money, it would turn out to be about $34,000 a piece per woman. The game devs tend to make a bit more than that. And in fact, it's not exactly true that it's $100 million getting divided. It's actually $80 million getting divided, because $20 million of that $100 million is going towards legal costs and stuff like that.
That's so dumb.
So, kind of, I mean, is it worth $34,000? Is that what all that pain and suffering was worth, you know?
Yeah, what it all boils down to. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, Riot Games did have sort of a positive take on it. I'd like to read you a little quote, their statement that they put out on the outcome of this. It starts out with this: 3 years ago, Riot was at the heart of what became a reckoning in our industry. we had to face the fact that despite our best intentions, we hadn't always lived up to our values. As a company, we stood at a crossroads. We could deny the shortcomings of our culture, or we could apologize, correct course, and build a better Riot. We chose the latter. Gonna stop right there for a second. I would argue that they did not choose the latter.
Yeah, like, as an avid, as a person who plays League frequently, I guess, it's still the same. I mean, they've taken some steps, but yeah.
Right.
Not much. Yeah, it's still just as toxic as ever.
I mean, it's funny that you mentioned that, too, because this is something from that expose that was put out on Kotaku from a few years ago. But they did point out in this article that there was Riot Games themselves found a correlation between people in their company that were toxic in the game and how they were toxic in real life at the company. I personally, you know how I feel about League of Legends. I believe it is a game that is designed around toxicity, personally. This all makes sense to me in terms of the people being who they are in it. But yeah, no, they argue that they apologized, corrected course, and built a better Riot as if they didn't have to be sued to do that, is my point.
Yeah.
I find that incredibly silly.
They should have always been building a better Riot. Not, this just shouldn't be what causes them to move forward to be better.
Yeah, no, it's pretty interesting. They go on to say, we're incredibly grateful to every Rioter who has worked to create a culture where inclusivity is the norm, where we're deeply committed to fairness and equality, and where embracing diversity fuels creativity and innovation. While we're proud of how far we've come since 2018, we must also take responsibility for the past. We hope that this settlement properly acknowledges those who had negative experiences at Riot and demonstrates our desire to lead by example in bringing more accountability and equality to the games industry. So it's a lot of you know, posturing, presenting themselves as good people. I do hope for the best. As with all of these cases where these monster companies get found out to be monsters, I hope that it results in the employees getting their due as far as what's owed to them in way of damages. I also hope that going forward the companies reform and become better. I do feel like it's hard to expect that from them.
Yeah.
Especially when they don't acknowledge their role in it.
Yeah. I'll remember this the next time, you know, the enemy team's setting on my Nexus saying GG easy and not ending the game.
Right. You know, you see that spam dancing, you think, yep, everyone's good now.
Yep.
This is a great game with great people.
Yeah, game could have ended 10 minutes ago, but no, here they are, setting up the Nexus.
Yeah.
Dancing. GG
absolutely.
Easy.
I guess that's all for pain and misery. I think we're good on that, right? We can go ahead and move on to just quickly going over some of the new releases that are coming out. First one that I see here, Monster Hunter Rise for the PC. That's coming out on the 12th.
Yeah, Monster Hunter Rise came out on Switch before this, and it was perceived pretty well. Like, people liked it, but they didn't like it as much as World. I know we both played World together, but we didn't play it till after it got, like, its Iceborne? Its first,
yeah,
like,
I think so.
Expansion. But, like, World itself got regarded well, but it didn't get regarded as well till it got its expansion. And I feel that's kind of how Rise is right now too, where, like, it's really cool, it's got new mechanics, but it hasn't quite, like, gotten to the point of, like, love that World has quite yet. So we'll see how it goes. I think it will go pretty well, because, like, World got a bunch of people into Monster Hunter, and I think Rise is just as good as a game, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Rise was pretty fun for me. I do think part of the problem is that being on the Switch, I probably didn't play as much as I would if it was on the PC. I'm not much of a console gamer. I'm more of a PC person, so I don't necessarily get on my Switch a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same. I like to play at my PC. I'm more comfortable there. But like, I don't see myself buying the PC release of Rise since I don't like buy the same game twice, especially if I didn't find any real problems with the previous version.
Right, I don't think I could see myself paying another $60, especially
Yeah.
after this sales just ended. I don't really, I've paid too much money already for games this month.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like, if I'm gonna play Monster Hunter, I'm just gonna go back and just turn my Switch on and play it there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or if you're one of the people who don't like Rise, World's still there. World is on sale. Play that.
Yeah, grab that. That's still fun, and it's a fully fleshed out game that's had time to be patched out and updated and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, the other one that we have is another PC release, God of War, the new one.
The new one. Yes, it has the same name as the original God of War, but it's just the same name for anyone who gets confused. It's the one where Kratos is in another culture killing their gods, you know? God of War. I didn't even realize this game didn't have a PC release for a while till you brought this up, and I was like, oh, that's good. That's great. I even asked the question. I'm like, is this the original God of War? You're like, no, it's the new one. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah, no, I think it was just originally on PS4, right? Because that's just like a Sony. It's not a Sony game, but I remember it only being on PlayStation.
Yeah, it was like their exclusive game that only they could sell, I guess, but I didn't realize to like what extent. Did you play this game?
The newer God of War?
Yeah.
No, I have not. I am familiar with it mostly through memes.
Yeah.
If you say,
But the
boy, then.
yeah. For sure. Yeah, but same. I didn't play this new one. I played all the older ones.
Yeah, I
But not.
played one of the older ones, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it took this game. When did the original come on? When it came out? Like 2018. I don't know why it took it 4 years, well, almost 4 years to come to PC.
Yeah, I don't know what they do to calculate the risk reward of PC releases. Sometimes I feel like it's just how many people are whining about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I do that too. I remember I did that for the longest time for like Dark Souls to come to PC, so. And I regretted
And
that.
then what did you get?
Dark Souls 1 played like poop. It was terrible. And then you had to wait a long time for it to get a good patch for it to even be playable. So
Yeah.
that was that. I'm sure this will be perfectly fine. They had 4 years to refine it.
Yeah, nothing could
Yeah.
go wrong with ports for the PC.
No, never.
Those are the releases that I see here that are coming out just immediately next week.
Yeah,
There
there'll be more. There'll be more. Just that's what we have in the immediate future.
I will mention until Thursday, we have the Epic Games, the final holiday free game release was the newer Tomb Raider remakes, the trilogy.
Yeah.
Pretty fun games. I have played the first of those games, and I did have a good time with it. So if you're on Epic Games, grab it real quick. It's fun. It's worth grabbing it. I mean, it's what, like a
Free.
60, $80 value?
Yeah, it's free. Go
Yeah,
get it.
just grab it. It's worth it.
Yeah, those are great games. Yes, Epic Games has still been giving out free games for like almost all of December, it felt like.
It
So felt
was,
like school.
yeah, I think it was every day starting around probably like the 12th or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But that's gonna cut it for us, I think. You got anything else for us, Beck?
No, not this time around. There hasn't been really many like indie games I've personally paid attention to, but there'll be a lot coming down later this month that I'm excited for that we'll talk about next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I haven't seen any, so I've been itching for something new. All
For sure.
right, well, we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up here, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week on schedule after that hiatus. Looking forward to seeing you all then.
Yeah, see you later.
See you later, everyone, and happy new games.
Yeah, happy new games. That's what we're gonna end on. Yep.
Awesome.